to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President, CEO of The Wine Growers, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And we're just digging straight in today,
aren't we?
Yeah.
Shake it up.
All right.
It's a Shake It Up Saturday.
We have somebody in studio.
And so we should just jump in.
As we often do.
And that is not breaking news.
No. Well, okay. Welcome. Brett Munsell. We're a little bit silly today. I'm sorry.
Yes. No problem.
It happens a lot, actually. So, owner, general manager of Munsell Vineyards, Sonoma County Wine Growers Board Chair, pilot farmer for the Smart Apply program, Century Club member. We might be here for half the show just saying like all the things that you do.
That's why we're jumping in right away.
It's so true. Okay. Where do we start? Century Club member is kind of, you know, the interesting part always of meaning that your family's been here at least a century farming wine grapes and other things. Tell us a little bit about kind of your family's path.
Yeah, so our family moved into the Alexander Valley in 1876, opened and operated two of the first wineries in Alexander Valley, came kind of from all different paths, but ended up here, started with wineries, moved into hops early, pre-prohibition, prunes. Had dairy for 15 years, back to prunes for almost another 20, and 100% wine grapes back 1972. So through that whole time, we had wine grapes, but there was definitely lots of different commodities being produced.
But you have an interesting story, cause like, since you are a chair and
yep.
a friend and gotten to know you. But talk a little bit, though, about your family's path to Sonoma County, because there's some rich history in that as well.
Yeah, so kind of from, it's all on my mom's side of the family, mm-hmm. And then on my grandmother's side of the family, I have two great-great-grandfathers. One was the cellar master for Stag's Leap's winery in Napa. Hmm. He, as Stag's Leap developed phylloxera in the late 1800s, they bought a property on what is now Red Winery Road and sent their cellar master to Alexander Valley to build a winery and plant a vineyard. And keep production rolling so they could replant their properties in Napa. So he came, his name was Broder Frelson, quickly bought his own property in Alexander Valley, so short distance from where the winery was. He built the Red Winery, which is what Red Winery Road is named after, right on the corner of Pine Flat and
so
Red
obvious.
Road. Yeah, yeah. So he was there for, I think, about 10 years. Before they sold that property, and then he moved to his own property and has been there ever since. We still farm his original property. Hmm. And then the other was Shadrach Osborne. He was the third of three sons. So the oldest, of course, stayed in England. The second was sent to Australia, and we have met that part of the family.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. And then the third was Shadrach. He came to the United States and don't really know from the time into the United States and to Alexander Valley, but somehow ended up here with a good way to start a living.
Yeah.
Bought the property that's now Silver Oaks property, their yeah. main winery in Alexander Valley. But in that time, he owned the Fieldstone property. That was our first family winery. It was called Lone Pine Cellars.
Hmm.
He owned Soda Rock Winery.
Wow.
But his home ranch was the Silver Oak property.
Amazing.
I know, which I love, which, you know, early days in my role, now that I've been here 13 years with Sonoma County Wine Growers, happenstance, we invited Brett and then Brad Peterson, who was sort of the farmer for Silver Oak, to do an interview. I think it was with either Ray Eiler.
It was with Ray Eiler.
Yeah. Yep. And we were kind of coincidentally invited, both of them, to go out. And we were doing the interview at sort of this transition property that you're talking about. And that's where we connected the dots that you guys had a lot of history in common.
Yeah, we were standing in that old Zinfandel
yes.
field and just talking. And I don't know who asked the question, but I'm like, well, actually, my great-great-grandfather planted the Zinfandel.
Yeah.
It's right behind the Silver Oak property.
And it's always like, well, you can't make this up. But I feel like Sonoma County is blessed with so many of those really interesting connected stories of especially our Century Club farming families.
Yeah. I mean, Alexander Valley in particular, I really want to kind of get deeper into, you know, the different aspects of your family history there. And I'm really curious about the phylloxera piece, like if that was common for vineyard owners and wineries to go from Napa or other regions and come to Sonoma. But we do have to take a quick break. So we'll do that first. And then when we come back, we can talk more with Brett Munsell.
Thank you.
Good Stuff with Brett Munsell. And so you were starting to get into sort of your great-grandfather's history and all the overlapping, you know, pieces of property that now have become other places that we know well. But I want to go back to the phylloxera piece, because to your knowledge, was that common in Alexander Valley? Were people from Napa coming over to plant wine grapes in land that hadn't been planted wine grapes before? Or?
You know, I'm not totally sure about that. I know that phylloxera epidemic in the late 1800s was definitely common throughout California, right? That's what brought on AXR rootstock development eventually. So the phylloxera experience that I've had when I was young was the second go-around for California. Mm-hmm. But I assume Alexander Valley at that time was pretty wide open, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that far from the Mexican land grant to Cyrus Alexander to that time. So ASTI was operating at that time, and whether other Napa wineries were coming, I'm really not sure.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. You should ask your growers. Ask your Century Club. Maybe it would start with the Century Club. But
well, and I think we should just mention, so not only is Munsell part of the Century Club, but you're about to become part of our 150-year club. I was thinking about that on the way into the station today. Like, what's going to be our fun name for that? Because it's going to be like Century Plus just doesn't do it justice.
Yeah.
So, and that'll be 150 years in next year in 2026.
Yeah, so very exciting for our family. But 2026 will be 150th anniversary. So we made a wine, our first blend in 22 that we'll release for the 150th anniversary. So we're not sure exactly what that's all going to entail for us yet. But at least for me, it feels really exciting to hit that in my lifetime, in my working career. It'd be fun to share that with my kids and my parents.
Right. So how many generations are still involved in either the vineyard side or the winery side?
So I'm the fifth generation. And then, of course, my kids will be the sixth, hopefully. And the winery side for us is really fairly new. So we had wineries back in the late 1800s, but nothing up until 2006 is when we had our first crush under the Munsell Vineyard label.
So our great producer Jeff just looked up the 150th, and it's actually, I'm going to butcher it, but sesquicentennial.
Might not
like
want to use that one.
I'm going to stop using words I can't pronounce.
Right. Yeah.
I know. We'll have to come up with a nickname for that, some slang for 150th. But I wanted to ask you what it means to actually have that sort of legacy and history in Sonoma County. I mean, 150 years to be like, and how do you think about that with your family? And, you know, you're a girl dad, so I mean, you can talk a little bit about your family as well, but like, what does that all look like?
So I guess I think about that all the time. I think about when we're talking about sustainability, that pretty much is the definition in my mind, is to be able to pass generations and care for your land, let your land care for your family. So that's a big part of it. Working with I worked with my grandparents and my dad for my grandpa almost 20 years, which was a great experience for me. And I think that gives good perspective on what has happened in throughout time, what's happened with your family, how your properties have evolved, because they're in constant motion. And then I think sometimes I'm fixated on how to make it business that's possible to pass down to the next generation. I do have four daughters, you know, whether they're all going to be interested, any of them will be interested. I think about it all the time and what it would take for them to have a place in our business. And honestly, it's part of the reason we started making wine. I love farming. I love being in the field. I like working with the guys. I jokingly say it's like every little kid's dream. It's tractors and trucks and mud and dirt and dogs. But with the wines, that really opens up a lot of doors. You know, you could have family members in marketing and sales and winemaking. And if one of them wants to farm or all of them, I'd be totally happy for that too.
So you really were born into farming. Was there a period of time where you thought, you know, you wanted to do something else?
So I have two younger brothers, and when we were growing up, farming was hard and there wasn't really a place for us in the business. And my parents were very specific, like go to college and go do something else. There's not a place for you in the family business. Mm. So I did. I went to Davis. You know, I studied ag economics and I minored in viticulture. So definitely there was a thought in the mind there that I wanted to come back mm-hmm. in this industry. And I knew right away I wanted to be in the industry. Where that was going to fall was yet to be determined. But I ended up going to work for American Ag Credit, and I was there for 4 years. That turned out to be probably the best decision I could have made leading up into my future mm-hmm. career. But my second brother is a civil engineer in Sonoma County, specializing in vineyard development. And the third is a fireman. We all live within wow. about 10 minutes of each other and my parents. So we all knew we wanted to be back in this area. But I was working at the bank, and my parents just called and asked if I wanted to come to dinner. I came, which wasn't unusual, right? I was yeah. single and hungry. So came home, was having dinner, and my dad just said, hey, do you want to come work in the family business? And at the moment, I really loved the job I had, but it only took a couple seconds to say yes. So I started on first day of harvest in, I think, 2000. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm coming into my 25th harvest wow. In our business. But yeah, it wasn't planned, but I think deep down I knew I always wanted to do it.
Hmm. Do you have any favorite memories with your working with your grandfather?
You know, my grandpa loved harvest as much or more than I do.
And you love it a lot.
I love it.
I actually know because when I talked to you during that time and
yeah,
at least you love the first like 6 weeks of it.
Yeah.
Maybe then you get right. a little tired.
I used to say I could harvest year round. Now getting close to 50 years old, it's like I'm ready for harvest to get done at yeah. the 9 to 10 week mark.
Yep.
But I guess my very favorite thing with my grandpa is every single afternoon when I rolled into the shop and his house was at our shop and our office was in his house at that time. He was waiting at the door to hear how many tons, how many acres, where we picked. You know, he just couldn't get the information fast enough.
Oh, amazing.
And I think that was like mm-hmm. a daily best memory.
Oh.
And then with my grandpa, he just loved farming. He would have farmed anything. I couldn't say he absolutely loved the wine grape industry, mm-hmm. but he loved farming. In his career, he was all prunes with a little bit of grapes. He had the dairy back to prunes and eventually went to 100% wine grapes.
Mm. I'm sort of curious, I mean, with your business background and sort of even studying economics for agriculture, do you apply some of those learnings every day? Or is it, did you come into the business when your parents asked you to join with a little bit more business knowledge than maybe the family had had?
I think the education really got me into a great job at Farm Credit. And what I use daily is what I learned at the bank. I had the opportunity to review grape contracts. I looked at tons of properties in Sonoma, Napa, and Mendocino. We looked at their budgets, their financial package, all of that stuff I think I'm using every single day.
Yeah.
And how it really changed our business is I got used to seeing a lot of properties. And when you start farming, my dad's worry was you only see your own property.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it won't take very long and you're going to go from one project to the next and not see anything else. So expanding our business and starting to farm for others and just looking at the industry as a whole. And I know that's what brought mm-hmm. me to like the Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission. It's like I want to see the whole industry
right.
And make that part of our daily business.
Mm. Well, and talk a little bit about just your business. So how many acres do you farm? What do you farm? Farm for yourself, farm for others?
Yeah, so our business
yes to all of that.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
All of it.
Our business is really three pieces in my mind. We farm our own ground, which includes ground we own and ground we lease long term. That's roughly 400 acres. And then pretty much a year after I started working for my dad, we started doing projects for neighbors, starting with harvest. And that has kind of just led us down the path of fully farming for others. So we currently farm about 400 acres of like full management. And then we still do some projects for good friends and neighbors mm-hmm. and things like that. And then we have our wine piece, which is we make about 750 to 1,000 cases of wine a year.
Yeah, mm. quite small.
Yeah, very
I mean,
small.
You're farmers first.
Absolutely farmers first.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, that's what I want to be doing day to day. Although I love having our wine as a piece of our business.
Sure.
It's not my full focus and 100% of my attention.
Yeah. Well, so at least since you've kind of been on the ground on the farming side, what are some of the, you know, some of the biggest changes that have happened in vineyard or viticulture? Is it technology? is it you know, having more of a community where you learn from each other? Like, what have you seen sort of on the positive side?
There's a lot of pieces to that question. Yeah. But farming, you know, when I was a kid, everything was an 8x12 spacing, California sprawl. We had 10 employees, and my dad did all the tractor driving right up until he could get his kids to do the tractor driving. Today, it's more acres. It's more meticulous work. It's much more hands-on up in the vines. At that time, you know, we still hoed weeds. Our guys, that's all they did all summer was hoe weeds. No irrigation, no IPM programs. Yeah. Today, it's much more. We farmed for one winery. All the grapes went to Gallo for a jug type of wine. You fast forward all the way today, and it's very much we're farming for individual winery clients specific to what programs they're making wines for. Although I love getting on the tractor, I barely ever have time or almost never can do that. So there's been a big change in just like the physical activity of farming.
Yeah.
But also just in my 25 years, we've seen a change in the business of farming. When I started, it was Alexander Valley we talked about, and that was our piece. Now we're really Sonoma County, and we're trying to talk about and promote Sonoma County as a whole, which couldn't be better, right? We've got 18 or 19 different appellations that are very physically separated. And so be able to share the story of all those together is a big change in our industry.
Yeah, the mosaic that is Sonoma County, right?
Yeah.
So talk a little bit, because it's been great. You've been on our board for several years. You're now our board chair. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you, I think. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about, what you mentioned it a little bit, but just about what compelled you. And I think even more importantly, I'm always so impressed with our farmers and how much they give back to the community, how much they're willing to serve. And especially on our board, it's a volunteer board, and you get put through the ringer sometimes. You do a lot of work. It's not always answering the easy questions. It's having really thoughtful discussions about the future of our community and our county and our wine region. So maybe just comment on kind of what pulled you into that and why you're still doing it, why you agreed to be our leader in that. So
I really think as part of our industry, it's the most important step we could take, right, as a county as a whole. So I spent a lot of time in Alexander Valley, and our entire farming business is Alexander Valley. Our history is there. So I was very involved with Alexander Valley Wine Growers. I was the president. But for me, it was like the next step to talk about the county as a whole. And I really want to do that. My wife and I pretty much believe, you know, you've got to contribute in your community. And with that, we each participate in one or two boards. You know, there's lots of opportunities when you get in that world to participate. Boards, associations, sports, kids, all that kind of stuff. But we try to limit it to one or two each because we do have four girls and we want to be present for, I try only to coach one team a year, you know, to keep them limited. But the Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission was like, it feels like the apex of that commitment and participation in our community. And it is a lot of work and it is a volunteer board, but it's like, it's definitely feels to me to be like the most important spot for us to participate at this time.
And how do you think I'm asking a selfish question, but like the role of the Sonoma County Wine Growers and how it's helping the community or making a difference?
Well, we're all over the world now. Yeah. I mean, when I started on the board, we really were talking about how to be outside of Sonoma County. And that, in my mind, was like, you know, San Francisco, maybe LA. And now we're at a meeting, we're talking about Italy and Portugal. And, you know, we hosted a dinner the other night, and as they were leaving, they asked if I'd come to Chile to speak about
you should.
Vineyard management. And I'm like, well, yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, I'd love to do that. Yeah.
Can I bring my wife?
Yeah, can I bring my wife?
I think that is
like the evolution, and it's really, you know, Carissa speaking on panels with countries, not just with associations.
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch that evolution, for sure.
Yeah, and you got to think big.
You got to think big. More than ever.
So we have to take a quick break. We have so much more to talk about with our guest, Brett Munsell. on The Good Stuff with Brett Munsell. And when we last were talking, you were talking about sort of the work that you do as board chair. But part of that is also you're part of you're a pilot farmer with the Smart Apply program with John Deere. And you are wearing a John Deere hat. So.
And Will Bareilles, too. We have two. He's a pilot farmer for two. Okay, three of our partnerships. So
what does that mean? What are you doing? What are you learning?
So I think kind of like with associations, the commission chair, in my mind, we need to be advancing in some form in our business all the time. This pilot farmer program was an awesome opportunity for us to get to work with some of the leaders that we were already working with, right? We buy fertilizers from Will Bareilles. Most of our tractors are John Deere's. Mm-hmm. So when they approached us with the idea, or maybe it was Chris's idea about being a pilot farmer, I'm like, this is a great way for me to get in on the ground and be advancing our business. So typically, annually, we try to select one or two things that we're going to focus on as an experiment, mm-hmm. a test, a pilot. So this program kind of approached us, and it's been a really easy way for me to focus on a couple improvements in our business.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, so you want to give kind of a little bit more of the background?
Yeah. So we started, it was back in 2022. We announced sort of our evolution of sustainability after we kind of had that foundation with our region all being certified sustainable, that we were really looking to dive deeper into specific areas of farming to sort of figure out better efficiency, how to lower costs, how to just lower greenhouse gas emissions, save energy, anything to sort of continue to move the needle, adopt more technology innovation, think about labor differently. Mm-hmm. So we called this initiative the Farm of the Future, and really reached out to potential partners to start to say, how do we learn together, kind of create the case study, the model, and realizing a lot of big companies in agriculture didn't focus on wine grapes. So we get the Midwest gets a lot of attention, it's wheat, it's corn, it's soybeans, get a lot of the investment from a John Deere and others. And so it was like, how do we recruit them to come out and work with us? And part of the solution was literally we'll pilot technology, we'll pilot different materials, somewhere here in Sonoma County through some of our growers, really learn together. And then this year, our big goal is to write case studies around some of these pilots we're doing. And so clearly finding innovative farmers that are willing to sort of put skin in the game, sweat equity, and also learn together and share. I mean, a big part of this is taking what you're learning and being collaborative with some of our other pilot farmers. So we're kind of all working together, and also to help the company or organization, do better and provide better equipment and better materials and better service to farming and viticulture. So the first one was Ford Pro. We piloted the electric truck. I know you were, Virginie, there at the launch of that sort of global launch of the F-150 Lightning here in Sonoma County. But the next one was Will Bareilles. And I think to Brett's point, they've been a longtime partner, I think individually, to most of our farmers in Sonoma County. But we went to them and said, could we do something a little more collectively with you and very specific? So we created a 5-year partnership, really focused on sort of healthy soils, regenerative ag, increasing water holding capacity in our soils. And so Brett was one of the pilot sites. And then we overlaid agrology carbon sensors so we could get a really good sense of the things we were doing, what was the actual result of it.
So many different pieces.
But then we heavily recruited John Deere because, I mean, our
farmers love John Deere.
They love John Deere. They love tractors, period. And it was like, if we're going to get them excited about something, like, no offense, Will Bareilles, you're amazing, but like, tractors. Like, you can't compete with the tractor. So we invited the John Deere team to participate in our Farm of the Future Summit, and that kind of started a long-term conversation. And they approached us with Smart Apply. So maybe, Brett, do you want to talk a little bit about Smart Apply and kind of what we're currently doing with them?
Sure. So John Deere, when they came to us, they had this Smart Apply program. It's equipment that can mount on existing sprayers that we all already have. And the basic idea is using LiDAR to reduce the spray quantity. Mm-hmm. So first, it sounded great, existing equipment modification versus having to buy all new. So I was like, I'd really love to try that. And it has really been incredibly functional. And you've got the support of John Deere Corporate.
And Belcorp, dealer, which is really important. Yes.
So along with the equipment came like the direct phone numbers to have service with that equipment. So we ran it all year last year. We saw early on up to maybe a 70% reduction in our the quantity of product that's going out there.
That's insane.
The season moved on, that of course went down because vines get much bigger. But I would say pretty close to across the year, we were talking about maybe a 30% reduction in our chemical usage, which that's incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
On existing equipment. So that was, it was super functional. It really worked well for us. We're running it again this year and we'll increase the acres that we run it on.
Yeah, so we selected six pilot farm, recruited.
Yeah.
Invited.
Asked nicely.
Told.
Yeah.
No, six pilot farmers and from around the county and sort of set the pilot up to be small farming only for themselves, Saras Ranch, to up in Alexander Valley, different soils, different grapes, you know, Brett, out in, you know, West County, you know, Dutton Ranch. So we did a little bit San Giacomo, others. So kind of trying to figure out how do we get the best data so that way when we put this story together, Brett's neighbors will have really good information to make a decision whether Smart Apply is a good investment for them, and the San Giacomo's neighbors will have good information on Sonoma Valley and is that, you know, appropriate for them. So that's really the goal, is just to help us all be smarter, do better, be more efficient.
I think that's one of the best things about the Pilot Farmer program is it's so collaborative.
Yeah.
So whether we're talking about soil health and tilth, I don't have to run every experiment on our own vineyards.
Yeah.
I can call Tyler Click at Redwood Empire or Steve San Giacomo and see what they're working on and kind of compare notes, right? All of our soils are so different. Our vineyards design different. The varieties we're growing are different.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Smart Apply. We see each other monthly at least, so we can sit down and really talk about how is it working? Where are we using it?
Mm-hmm.
High pressure locations, low pressure locations. I think as a program, that's really the value that the farmers see in it.
Yeah, and John Deere's just really, I mean, we were at the World Ag Expo a few weeks ago together with some of the other pilot farmers at the invite of John Deere, just to see some of their new equipment, which I think is just really exciting to have that purview now into this world of like what's next. And farming and have an early look and be part of the conversation and give feedback, like real-time feedback that can really make something more valuable to our farmers.
They're so far ahead of where where we seem to be as a small business. It's just like my dad said, you see your own property and the issues you have, but they just open up a whole different world and be able to sit and look at that new equipment, new technology. Although sometimes it can be overwhelming, it's like nice to know that's out there. And when you talk about the next generations, like my kids could operate most of this new technology way better than I could right now.
Well, and the value for John Deere is significant too, just to get into kind of the viticulture space and the small family farm space and learn, you know, how that is dramatically different than a giant soybean farm somewhere else.
So I want to shift gears a little bit because, Brett, I've heard you mention often that you essentially grew up with a couple of your key employees that work in the vineyards with you. Maybe just talk a little bit about your employees and what they mean, and then maybe, I know we have to take a break in a second, we can come back and talk a little bit about the foundation programs.
Yeah, so we have a really solid group of about 30 employees that have been with us for 10 years or more. And of my main supervisor management group, there's four that have been more than 20 years and a couple that are more than 30 years now. We all grew up together. We're all between about 46 and 51. So they were here really young, probably a little too young. But I mean, I can remember teaching a couple of these guys to drive tractor because I started when I was really young. So we have all worked together for so long and they really do feel like family. I know all their kids, I know their spouses, several live on our properties. So we're together all work day and I see them most of the weekends.
Yeah. I remember you commented once, you're like, I think I spend more time with them than I do my actual immediate family.
It definitely feels like that.
You got to enjoy each other, right? Yep. And have just a real, you know, commitment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back on with Brett Mansell. So we had to take a quick break here with Brett Munsell, but tell us, I want to know a little bit more about this community that you've kind of formed with all these people that you grew up with, that you're still are doing farming. It's just, I mean, that seems unique to Sonoma County.
Yeah, so, you know, when I started working with my dad, like everybody, I had taken 2 or 3 years of Spanish in high school, couldn't speak at all.
Right.
So it was like right away, you've got 15 guys that you work with every day, and it just felt like I wanted to know them personally. And to do that, had to be able to speak clearly in Spanish. So it was pretty quick. I learned to speak Spanish, and I wouldn't say fluently, but very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I could start to become like friends as long as coworkers. But I mean, yeah, our guys, Ricardo, he's been through the Leadership Academy. He sits at a desk right next to mine. Yesterday, my second daughter text, is Ricardo's son Ricky driving a Ford Tacoma or a Toyota Tacoma? Because he just parked right in front of me. I'm like, so our kids are in school together. Yeah. They're playing sports together. They work together in our kid crew for that 1 year. It really is a tight group. And I couldn't appreciate what they bring to our business more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say you've supported, which is a big deal, and several of your employees to be part of our Leadership Academy, being recognized in this is all our foundation, the Employee Recognition Program. And so what does that mean? I mean, trip to D.C. that you actually took with your daughter and employees, and just talk about kind of that experience about bringing broader Sonoma County and broader world to, you know, your employees.
I think it's the same as me working with the commission. Our employees have been focused on our properties and their specific jobs for so long, and it's great to be able to recognize them for the work they're doing and for them to get to participate in a program like the Leadership Academy, to get to see outside of our box. You know, we have two guys that are in the program right now, and one of them the next morning is telling me all about Sonoma-Cutrer and the tour they'd done. And I realized, actually with the first of our employees, our guys have never been to wineries.
Right?
Right? Yeah. We grow grapes.
It was like an aha moment. I know.
And so he's telling me all about the barrel room and the bottling room. And I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. He's like getting to see something outside of the grapes and the tractor and the project.
Connecting all the dots.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that has been really great. The programs, both the individual monthly and then the Leadership Academy, I think has been invaluable for our guys. Going to Washington, D.C. last year. I didn't go with the first group, but I did go last year. And honestly, I had never been to Washington, D.C. So getting to experience that with two employees that worked for us for a long time was really fun. And then I got to bring my daughter as well. So having her there and participating and seeing how amazed the guys were and just their enthusiasm for the program was a great way to introduce her into what all the pieces of our business as well.
Yeah, and what it means, you know, from to your point of like from a global perspective almost.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, our guys are still talking about it daily. Yeah. We hear about Washington, D.C.
I love that so much. So talking about all the pieces of your business, you do make wine. What do you make, and can people come taste with you?
So yeah, we make Cabernet Zinfandel, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, and a rosé that sprung up from the Wallbridge fires. So those three those five wines are every year wines. We have made now our first blend, which will be released as our 150th anniversary wine.
Oh, cool.
And on a rare occasion, about every 3 or 4 years, we make a Petit Verdot. So small quantities of each. But right away in 2006, we started to realize you got to have more than just a red and white if you're going to be wine club specific.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the focus of our sales. So we do private tastings. You can find us on the website, MunsellVineyards.com. And the tastings are almost always with me. I don't do a lot, but I do, you know, one or two a week. And depending on the season and where we are, it depends how the tastings go.
But will Truckee and Catch the Dogs be there
for
the tastings?
They are almost always there.
Okay, tasting with dogs. Brett and the dogs.
Yep. Back of the pickup, tailgate off.
Exactly, that's what I was picturing. Yeah. That's what I'm picturing.
Okay, well, that's an open invitation, I think, for anybody who's interested in tasting those wines.
Yeah, MunsellVineyards.com. Go to the website, reach out to Brett, and set it up.
All right, well, we want to thank you so much for joining us, telling us your story, and go taste.
Yeah. MunsellVineyards.com. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks for having me.
always nice to spend time with farmers.
I know. Their family's so wonderful.
Yeah, very connected into the community. I love that aspect of it. Love the Leadership Academy tie-in. But you wanted to mention something about John Deere, I think.
Well, you know, it just goes to talk about the great collaboration. So we actually got invited. So this Monday morning, first thing, I get to present to the John Deere employees from around the world, like thousands of employees. Thousands about our collaboration with them, about Smart Apply, just about this pilot partnership and how it's working, and actually do a little education on grape growing, because clearly they are all about agriculture and supporting farmers, but they also not all of them know that much about wine growing. So
a lot of people don't.
I know. So I'm incredibly excited about that.
What are you going to highlight? Are you going to talk about pruning? Are you going to talk about trellising? Are you going to talk about soil?
I'm going to get a couple farmers to do all of
that.
I'm basically going to talk about collaboration and partnerships and let the farmers talk about everything else.
Okay. So there will be farmers on talking about all those other things.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Will you be taking questions from the crowd?
I do not think so. I'm not sure how that's going
to
work.
I'm best to turn that off.
Yeah. I'm getting the last minute details this weekend. So we'll kind of see how that all plays out.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, very exciting. In the meantime, Tuesday night, what are you drinking?
I think I'm going to do the Munsell coin flip Chardonnay, just because I love that idea.
Coin flip. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I just kind of decided
on a coin flip. So it's one of the first wines I kind of had of theirs, and I love it. And you know I love Chardonnay. So yeah, it's from the Coin Flip Ranch.
Oh, well.
There you go.
Okay. Very cool. Well, unfortunately, I'm also doing a Munsell Rosé of Zinfandel from Alexander Valley, which, you know, there's not a lot of Rosé of Zinfandel.
No, I love that. Yeah. Wait, and just for the record, I had to look it up. So it's coin flip because they had his grandparents, Fred and Ruby Wasson, and a set of their neighbors had to decide who got which half of the vineyard.
Hmm.
And so they flipped a coin.
I think that's a good way to conduct most things in life.
Right? It keeps it very
Are we going to drink the rosé first? Or are we going to drink the coin flip first? Let's decide. Let's let a quarter decide.
Let's do it. I love it.
Since there's no more pennies in the world.
do you guys know the psychology behind a coin flip?
No.
If you can't make up your mind, you choose a side and you flip the coin. And if you find yourself leaning one way or the other, that's what you really wanted. So you disregard the coin flip.
Okay.
There you go.
I do like that aspect. Okay. Thank you, Producer Jeff.
I know.
Always here with a helpful tip.
Seriously.
Okay. Well, on that, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.